I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
The death of Navalny was a consequence of something that Putin and his thugs did.
Russian state media is reporting Alexei Navalny, the jailed opposition leader and main Vladimir Putin critic, has died.
Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny is now dead.
Fear of one man only underscores the weakness and rot at the heart of the system that Putin has built. Russia's responsible for this.
Greece has legalized same-sex marriage, making it the first Orthodox Christian country to do so.
A former FBI informant has been charged for lying about President Biden and Biden's son Hunter and their involvement in business dealings with the Ukrainian energy company Burisma.
Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of black communities.
The district attorney in Donald Trump's election interference case in Georgia, Fannie Willis, chose to testify yesterday, answering deeply personal questions. A judge is considering whether Willis's romantic relationship with prosecutor Nathan Wade created a conflict of interest.
A judge has already ruled the former president inflated his wealth on financial documents to make deals and secure loans. But we could learn today if he will be forced to shut down his real estate empire in the state while paying tens of millions of dollars to authorities.
President Biden is finally traveling to East Palestine, Ohio, this week, 1 year after a Norfolk Southern train derailed there, spilling a slew of hazardous chemicals into the surrounding environment.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live from Washington, D.C. Today is February 16th, 2024, Anno Domini. Imagine living in a country where the government locks up political dissidents. Imagine living in a country where the government takes the political opposition, those who are opposed to the current ruler of the regime, and puts them on show trial and attempts to throw them in jail in front of an election. Imagine living in a country where you can be arrested for what you post on the internet, like a tweet or a meme. Imagine living in a country where you go to protest over what you believe to be a stolen election, which is your First Amendment right. Imagine living in that country, being fired on by federal police, responding to that, and then being locked up, being called terrorist, charged with terrorism, being beaten by police. People like Roseanne Boylan, 34 years old, of Georgia. People like John Steven Anderson, 61, of Florida. People like Matt Perna of Pennsylvania, 37 years old, awaiting sentencing, hurt no one. DOJ adding terrorism charges. People like Mark Ongst of Pennsylvania, awaiting sentencing, hurt nobody. People like George Meacham, 22 years old, of Utah, awaiting trial, hurt no one, committing suicide. Or even maybe an unarmed, or should I say, even a 53-year-old man, Christopher Stanton, Georgia, an investment banker, leaving behind a wife and two little girls, Fulton County, Georgia, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in his family home. or maybe even a 12-year veteran of the United States Air Force, an unarmed woman named Ashley Babbitt, shot in the neck by a Capitol Police officer. Imagine living in a country like that. And imagine living in a country where the current head of the government is attempting to throw their political opposition in prison for 700 years, who wants them to die in prison. And a media, if you will, imagine a world where the media tells you that this is all normal, that this is all that's what should be going on. And then the same media will tell you that you need to be very, very concerned with something that happened tens of thousands of miles away from America's borders, while not talking about the crackdowns and the deaths of dissidents that are taking place in this country right now. They tell you it's not happening. Well, folks, I got to tell you, it is. And you're living in that country right now. Mike Benz joins us next. Human Events Daily continues. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed, you hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip, you'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Glenn and the team over there have been great supporters of Human Events Daily, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Go to patriotmobile.com/POSO and get free activation when you use, of course, promo code POSO. Join me, make the switch today, patriotmobile.com/POSO. That's patriotmobile.com/POSO. The great Mike Benz of the Foundation for Freedom Online joins us here. Benz, so we're talking about the deaths of dissidents today, the crackdowns on dissidents. And I said in the opening, you know, imagine living in a country where the political opposition is criminalized. Imagine living in a country where the political opposition or dissident speech is criminalized and cracked down upon. I mean, could you imagine what it would be like to live in such a place?
You know, I can't. I wake up every day and I thank my lucky stars that. But look, I mean, the fact is. The country that we live in, just to break character for a minute, it's just has lost all legitimacy to be able to call out other foreign countries for their mistreatment or mysterious deaths of dissidents. It has now become the calling card of the Biden regime to essentially emulate everything we used to sanction or call an attack on democracy when it's done by a foreign dictator, locking up foreign dissidents, censoring their speech, putting gag orders on them, using the instruments of the executive branch to target their businesses in terms of regulatory crackdowns and in terms of Justice Department assaults, or in this case, the FTC and SEC and countless other orgs that are going after all the enemies of the state. It's going after their lawyers. Going after journalists, raiding homes of journalists, all of this would be essentially a NATO human rights violation, inviting air raids and regime change if Gaddafi had done it or if Khomeini had done it. But when Biden does it, the whole world knows now. I mean, Bukele in El Salvador is calling this out, I think. I think we've lost the legitimacy to argue about tyranny.
Well, this is an interesting situation because Prior to this, the United States sort of positioned itself geopolitically because we are in a new Cold War in a sense. However, we are the ones, and in this version of Cold War 2.0, it's the not just the United States, but, you know, the rules-based international order. And the international rules-based order is what is currently attempting to expand these rules across the entire globe. You must all play by the rules. Well, who defines the rules? Can we read the rules? Do we get a set of the rules? No, you can't. And so, you know, they'll say, well, this is against the rules-based order for when something happens in Russia, when something happens in China, when something happens in Iran. And now typically you would say, okay, well, we all agree that that shouldn't happen. But if we come back to the United States, we say, wait a minute, you are doing the exact same thing back at home that you are accusing other countries of breaking when, you know, breaking the rules-based order. So what is the difference? And I've already seen a lot of the neocons, you know, kind of responding to some of this and trying to make these strange arguments to say, well, you know, Trump's getting a trial and Trump's getting due process. I mean, really? Did you watch the prosecutors yesterday down in Fulton County? Does that really look like due process? This where they admit under testimony that, yes, they are taking the money from the public coffers that's been allotted to them and participating in sex trips around the world with each other. And that's essentially what they're doing while they're prosecuting the current political opposition. This type of show trial is a response. Putin doesn't need propaganda. He can just show this and say, look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing to their political opposition. And it gives him essentially a free card, or it gives any tin pot dictator. I'm not saying this is one for one, but it gives them a way to respond, because if you've lost moral legitimacy, then you can't exert that geopolitically. Walk me through some of the geopolitical issues here.
Yeah, well, Navalny had a trial. I mean, there's the big PR campaign around him being behind a glass cage during it and sort of holding up the hand. And so after what they've done to Trump, how can the U.S. government have any legitimacy in countering the argument from Russia? Well, hey, nobody's above the law in Russia. And in our case, it's 25 times worse. You know, Navalny never broke the 2% mark in polling in Russia when he ran for president against Putin. He never had more than 2% of the vote. Donald Trump is currently winning in the polling averages against Joe Biden. That is, he's breaking the 50% mark. He is on track to win in all seven battleground states. And the Real Clear Politics, which tends to be very centrist about these things, you know, has him up like 5 points right now, including with young people and Hispanics. So, I mean, if Navalny was not, 2%, but over 50%, was on track to beat Putin and he did this, the scandal it would have been on the international stage would have been, you know, 25 times the magnitude if he was 25 times more popular. But the fact is he wasn't, which makes what the U.S. is doing 25 times worse, frankly, because it is, so to speak, 25 times more political. And make no mistake, if the Justice Department wins its rigged case in D.C., Trump will die in prison. Okay, like if I can just like zone in on the camera and say that clearly, this man is on trial for 700 years of stacking charges, totally unnecessary and on novel theories in every case. 700 years. Donald Trump is not going to live to 777 years old, okay? If the Justice Department wins and Biden gets what he wants, Trump will die in prison like Navalny. So how can that same apparatus argue it's wrong when Russia does it? Russia can say he had a trial just like you're giving Trump. And, it took 2.5 centuries for us to build our reputation as being a bastion of freedom and due process and free speech. And it took about 2.5 years into the Biden administration to bring it all down.
And I'll never forget this because, you know, being here in Washington, D.C., I've seen I saw the Obama inauguration, I guess the second one, not the first one. I was there at the Trump inauguration, and I was there at the Biden inauguration, which no one attended. Because in order to get in, you had to get past armed soldiers. Nancy Pelosi apparently had said she wanted pillboxes at one point, and crew served gun emplacements. There was nobody on the national lawn. And I'll never forget that that's the way the Biden administration was ushered into power, like something out of the Hunger Games, like some kind of regime where on television they acted as if it was this wonderful flowery event. But if you were there in person, like I was, I had a media pass, and I was working in the area, that you could see that none of it was real. And in fact, the soldiery were going around, and I have a periscope from around this time where I was videoing, I think it was the night before, and I actually get stopped briefly by the soldiers and asked to show my credentials as I'm walking down the street in the nation's capital, simply holding up my phone, getting asked with the barbed wire and the Constantino wire that's up there. By the way, the wire that we're not allowed to have in Texas that they're currently suing again to get rid of in Texas, they had that up all around the central locus of our national power, of our country on day one of the Biden regime.
I didn't have a press pass, but I was in D.C. at the time, too. And it was every street corner, National Guard with the biggest guns you've ever seen. I mean,
Humvees everywhere, M60s.
Yeah, it was a military occupation of the Capitol ushering in democracy. They, of course, used this January 6th. They, of course, used this January 6th pretext, which, again, no people were killed by those protesters, and the whole thing lasted 3 hours, and three quarters of it was basically a glorified meme with almost no property damage. I mean, and that was the pretext weeks later, a lot of that, I think, was performance art. Frankly, I think some of it was just a show of power. But this idea that a military was needed for this. But the fact is that military rule, in a certain sense, that military occupation persists. It was, in fact, that same sort of military blob that you can argue was responsible for bringing down Trump term 1.0, between the Ukraine impeachment, between the Milley betrayals, between the Esper betrayals, between the CIA and State Department, which are inversions and deep state bureaucracy there. I just put a clip on my timeline yesterday from the former CIA director during the Bush term, saying during the Trump term, thank God for the deep state. And, it was that same sort of Pentagon deep state apparatus that was responsible not just for ushering Biden visibly, but kicking Trump out politically.
Right. And of course, by the way, to your point on that, all of this plays a role in the guidance, or should I say the allowance, of speech on the internet, which has become the new public square. It directly plays a role what you and I are talking about, because we got a quick break coming up here. Donald Trump was banned from Twitter 1.0 for what? Not January 6th, for saying that he wouldn't attend the Biden inauguration, and Twitter 1.0, when they had the backdoor with the FBI at the time that we all know about now, Joel Roth, claimed that that was a call to attack Biden's inauguration when Trump tweeted that he wasn't attending. That is the officially stated reason for why a president of the United States sitting was taking off of Twitter. Mike Benz joins me, and we continue this conversation here at Human Events Daily.
Hey, they talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack? He's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, I got to say, I'm the kind of guy who likes knowing exactly where my food comes from. And with today's sponsor, Moinkbox, I'll tell you, that place is from small family farms all across the country. You can help save them and get access to the highest quality meat on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Moinkbox runs their business from a town of 97 people in Newark, Missouri, and they're helping save our tradition, our values, and helping everyone save rural America with each order. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. You choose the meat that's delivered in every box, like ribeyes, chicken breasts, pork chops, salmon fillets, and the best, bacon. And boy, well, I got to say, I'm talking about it today. It's a Friday in Lent, so I'll have to get to my Moinkbox tomorrow So today, nope, can't touch it today. Tomorrow, I'm going to be all over it. Support those American farmers by signing up at moinkbox.com/pozo right now and get the Human Events audience. And I'm serious, it says this, a free bacon for 1 year. That's right, 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but for a limited time. moinkbox.com/pozo. That's moinkbox.com/pozo. Free bacon for a year. I can't touch it today. Tomorrow, I'm getting into my free bacon. Benz, you just dropped an interview with Tucker Carlson, you know, really encapsulating, I think, so much of what we're talking about here is that there is a direct tie between the military, from the military apparatus, to the censorship we saw online. They tried this at first with, it all goes back, by the way, to that inauguration, because what was the very first thing that we were told would be done with those National Guard troops, which were sent to J6. By the way, the Biden administration had no problem sending National Guardsmen from all over the country for January's, or, you know, the inauguration, but God forbid you try to do that for our own border, where there's an actual daily threat that we can see every single day. No. They'll sue for you for doing that. But if you send them to the border for an invisible threat that doesn't actually exist and exists about as much as the, you know, the gaslight going on and off in that old movie, fantastic movie, by the way. I love both versions, the American and the British. That's slightly biased towards the American. And has Ingrid Bergman. And if you remember what they were doing, they were vetting the National Guardsmen by going through their Facebook pages to see what they liked, whether or not they liked the National Rifle Association, whether they liked the GOP, whether they had pictures of red hats, whether they were liked Young Americans Foundation, Turning Point USA, some of these very basic areas of activism for what? Oh, that's right, the political opposition. And then, of course, this turns into COVID, which was another ideological purge of the military. And you must understand the COVID vaccine mandates as an ideological purge of the military. Now, the military itself also directly tied, as you say, to the censorship industrial complex. Walk me through it.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that case, on the January 6th front, yeah, there's so we have these conspiracy agencies. You know, I sometimes joke that if you want to get rid of conspiracy theories, maybe a good start would be getting rid of conspiracy agencies. You know, the entire purpose of having a national security clearance system and classified documents and agencies like the Central Intelligence Agency, who by charter operate with what's called plausible deniability, meaning they are under a mandate to conspire and then lie about what they're doing and deny it publicly so that the State Department can get away with it without it having the blood on their hands, so to speak. So, you know, there was a big push after Trump won the 2016 election to censor so-called, you know, conspiracy theories on the internet. This was everything from, you know, rumors around child sex trafficking involvement with the Clinton campaign and her campaign manager, John Podesta, with things like Pizzagate, all the way up to just, you know, totally ordinary course actions that the Pentagon, the State Department, or the intelligence community were doing. And on that January 6th front, one of the things that they also did to purge dissidents from, to purge MAGA-leaning Republicans from the military was a bill was entered in early 2021 to try to ban the ability by law of anybody who held a national security clearance would have their security clearance revoked or would not be able to get a future security clearance if they believed in or were found to have ever believed in a conspiracy theory. It was literally that naked. It was if you and they didn't even bother to, you know, define what that meant. I forget the name of the senator who put this up, but you know they basically did an ideological purge. You know, there was a guy named Bishop Garrison who was installed in the military to do this kind of DEI sweep of the military, which included you know, basically anyone who was MAGA was considered to be had to get their mind straightened or get kicked out. But the military itself is essentially the architect of the, or at least the enforcement arm of the censorship industry. You know, the everything from the creation of the censorship technology on the AI side to funding for censorship mercenary firms in the private sector, to censorship thought leadership. I mean, this really all started with NATO. After the 2014 Ukraine coup, NATO was not expecting the Russian backstopped counter coup that basically cleaved off Crimea in eastern Ukraine. And NATO thought at that point that we needed to basically purge any sort of Russian influence from the internet, from social media, and from traditional media, because they feared that Russia was essentially winning this sort of Cold War 2.0 if they could, since they had managed to persuade the entire eastern half of Ukraine as well as Crimea that it would be in their interest to essentially join the Russian Federation, or to be more sympathetic to Russia than to NATO. So NATO and the Pentagon and the British Ministry of Defense all teamed up to create these psychological warfare centers. They called them these NATO Centers of Excellence, and to create a whole new doctrine called hybrid warfare, which explicitly expanded NATO's mandate, in the words of Jen Stoltenberg, from tanks to tweets. So 1 month after Brexit happened, at a meeting in Warsaw, NATO's charter was formally amended for this tanks to tweets doctrine, which basically argued that we need to be in the business not just of crushing enemy tanks, but of censoring enemy tweets. Oh, and by the way, who's an enemy? It's not just Russians. It's anyone that the Russians might support ideologically, domestically, which meant if the Trump movement was calling for a detente with Russia or for peace with Russia, then the Trump movement could be censored under this tanks to tweets doctrine. If Putin or Russia had an interest in Brexit, well, then the Nigel Farage movement could be labeled essentially, could be caught up in the crosshairs of a NATO censorship operation. Same thing with Spexit with the Vox Party in Spain, or Alternative for Deutschland in Germany, or the Matteo Salvini movement in Italy. One after another, you could control every EU parliamentary election and the US election by pumping these censorship mercenary firms full of Pentagon cash, full of State Department cash, full of CIA personnel, in order to effectuate, in cahoots with their Pentagon and NATO advisors, the specific movements to censor. And Jack, you know this because we've talked about this many times, and I know that you covered it at the time, but you yourself were caught up in the crosshairs of a Pentagon censorship operation with the French election in late 2018, where Macron was in a nail-biter election against Marine Le Pen, who NATO vociferously campaigned against because she was campaigning on cheap energy relations with Russia because of her working class party support in France. And they put Jack Posobiec's name, the Atlanta Council did, front and center on its Defending Democracy Against Disinformation playbook, which was a censorship how-to guide. The Atlanta Council, of course, has 7 CIA directors on its board and gets annual funding from all 4 branches of the U.S. military. That is the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy all give annual funding to this cutout group, which is intermediated by all the major heavyweights of the CIA's past. And it put your face, it put your name as the central node of the disinformation network that, you know, it put its crosshairs on censoring because you might, your large platform was basically undermining support for Macron, and Macron was the NATO party candidate. So this is military control over media, and from there over our own civilian government.
And this, and again, we're specifically talking about people, ideas, and information that's considered dissident, that is considered discordant. Well, discordant to what, right? Discordant, you know, who decides these things? And of course, this goes back to the great Vladimir Lenin and who whom, and these connotations of Schmidt, where it's essentially, it's, you know, friend enemy distinction that, well, we have decided that this is the accepted narrative on whatever it is. On whatever it is, Putin is about to take Poland tomorrow. They'll tell us that the Russian military is falling apart, but Putin's about to take Russia tomorrow. So this is a worldwide particularly spread throughout the military conspiracy theory. There's no evidence that actually backs this up, but they state it as fact. Systemic racism, another great one. The idea that police officers are systemically targeting black people and using violence against them. None of these things actually hold up to any evidentiary review at all. And yet we are told to believe them throughout society. These are absolutely conspiracy theories. Yet we are told that we must uphold them no matter what. No matter what. And if there is a, you know, by the way, if there's a shooting at the Super Bowl that had, we're told there's no connection to terrorism, there's no nexus to extremism. Okay, so nobody asked if there was terrorism or extremism. We asked you what happened. They won't tell you what happened. They'll say there was a shooting at the Super Bowl. They'll spread the words terrorism and extremism to get you thinking that way. And certainly, by the way, if there is a shooting at a major event like that, that is something you should be looking for, obviously, like the Boston bombing. But could we not get some information as to what it was? Well, no, that information is completely hidden from us. Why? Because it is discordant. Mike Benz is our guest. We'll be right back with more Human Events Daily. We are talking about all the things that the military doesn't want you to hear about.
Jack, where is Jack? Where is Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack, we're back here live. Mike Benz, we're discussing the military's involvement in the crackdown on dissidents here in the United States. We're also talking about how this is indelibly tied to the NATO alliance, the Atlantic Council, who has directly targeted me in their operations. And now, all of a sudden, here in Washington, D.C., we have this $100 billion foreign aid bill that sort of hangs in limbo. The Munich Security Conference is happening on the other hand in Europe. We've got multiple U.S. senators there. J.D. Vance is also going there. I'm very interested to hear what J.D. Vance has to say. And the death of a prominent dissident in Russia. Benz, walk me through, what are we going to see next here?
Well, there's there's a lot.
Come on, just spit it out, man. This is simple stuff. This isn't complicated at all.
Currently, the issue, as I see, around the 2024 election, what's coming up ahead of that is mostly, the main threat is driven by the EU Digital Services Act and NATO being yes. the sort of military arm of the EU. This is going to be the main tool that will be used to try to force Elon to censor like the other major platforms. Those censorship standards are being teed up with the EU's joint partnership with groups like NewsGuard. We've talked about NewsGuard as Michael V. Hayden on its board, former head of the CIA, NSA, four-star general. It has Anders Fogh Rasmussen on its board, the former head of NATO, Tom Ridge, the former head of DHS, Rick Stengel, the former head of the Global Engagement Center at the State Department. It is this sort of apex predator of the national security state, all-star squad, and it's working with the European Union to craft the disinformation regulations that X is going to be in a bind to comply with, because it'll cost them 6% of their annual revenue if they don't comply, and they're not going to want to get kicked out of the EU market, because the EU market is even larger than the US market. It's 450 million people in the EU versus only 300 million some in the US. So they're really caught in the crosshairs here. I don't mean to take it back to Taylor Swift, but you had the head of the EU make a plea 3 weeks ago to Taylor Swift to do a get out the vote campaign for in all the European countries that her European tour is set to do just weeks before the EU elections. The main thing is if the EU's parliamentary majorities hold for the pro-NATO factions, they will be using this transatlantic flank attack. That is, the U.S. State Department will be working with the EU regulators to force any U.S. companies who don't take down disinformation about the elections to essentially forfeit their entire EU market license. Now, I think the way around that is X is probably going to be forced to hire a bunch of censorship agents, which they appear to be doing in some fashion with this new Austin office that X has launched. Now, we don't know, the specifics of that at this point. I understand these 100 new sort of content moderation personnel are being sort of jointly, I believe, hired for stopping the spread of child porn and hate speech. Now, one of those is obviously completely legitimate and frankly, a legal thing. But, the mixture of that with hate speech gives rise to questions.
Well, that's exactly why they pair them together.
Well, right. Well, the issue is you now have this new requirement from the EU law, which goes beyond hate speech and says it just if it's considered disinformation. Initially they used hate speech as the prong to pry that open because the EU had laws around hate speech and they were able to make the argument that all these right-wing populist groups were rising to power because of the migrant crisis in the EU after the overthrow of Gaddafi. There was this major influx of which continues to this day, of migrants from Africa up through Italy and through Portugal and Spain, into Germany, into Sweden, into the UK, into London. And that gave rise to these right-wing populist groups who opposed immigration, and their hawkish position against immigration and for preservation of their own identities, was the engine of their popularity on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And so a hate speech predicate was established after the 2016 Brexit vote and 2016 Trump election to get all those groups mass banned off of social media and to effectively kill their political outreach through that. But now the problem is even bigger than that. Now you just have a lot of groups who are anti-establishment writ large and who don't even necessarily articulate those same edgier opinions that were articulated in 2015, 2016. So this new mechanism around just disinformation, regardless of whether there's even a hate speech, fake predicate, is going to be very dangerous because that's how they got mail-in ballots censored in 2020. I could see them doing the same thing. Let's just say these NGOs that are importing, millions of people into the country this year with millions of dollars from the State Department and USAID to do it are caught, registering those illegal immigrants to vote in a country, i.e. the U.S., that doesn't have a citizenship requirement to vote in federal elections, or at least you don't need to demonstrate proof of citizenship. Let's just say there's a major scandal around that, and it's caught early enough for there to be a congressional investigations and lawsuits. Well, the only way that gets political traction is if you spread that narrative on social media. What if, disinformation is defined in the EU to be, anything that misleadingly accuses, underprivileged minority groups or ethnic minority groups of participating in, election fraud or something like that. I mean, it could be as categorical as that. And all they would need to do is hold up a bunch of incidents of trending narratives on X and saying, you're not censoring that. And then, boom, in start coming the financial penalties. And that could very easily rig the discourse of the 2024 election and prevent the political action from being mobilized.
And so here we have it, right? So it's essentially backdoor censorship. This is it's also eerily similar, by the way, I have to say, going through the EU. Isn't that exactly what we just heard? And we kind of knew this already, but we also heard this is definitively what the Obama administration did all the way back in 2016 to initially start their surveillance of the Trump campaign. They say, okay, we can't get it through here because of laws. We'll go through the EU and use a backdoor push to get it through there, because that way it gets us through, through Five Eyes intelligence sharing. It gets us through the non-U.S. citizen spy requirement. It's just so strange to me that it looks like the exact same playbook as 2016, yet instead of necessarily for the foreign corps, or excuse me, the surveillance court, it actually has more to do with censorship, but it's the same pathway, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I call it the Department of Dirty Tricks boomerang tactic, which is, the CIA knows that they can't do it directly. The State Department, the Pentagon, none of those are supposed to be domestic facing. They can't do squat on American soil. There's a minor exception for counterintelligence, which of course gets pronged open, but they're not allowed to operate against U.S. citizens or on U.S. soil. But their entire funding and legitimacy and jurisdiction and mandate requires domestic political support. So when they lose political support, what they do is they take out their political opposition by firing up this transatlantic boomerang and firing off this Department of Dirty Tricks tactics to their partners in London, to their partners in Brussels or across the Five Eyes. They're the ones who then do the dirty tricks, the spying, the wiretapping, the leaking to media, you know, the Orbis business intelligence type, you know, private spy network, the Christopher Steele, all that. They boomerang it back, and so it topples the head of the person on the homeland that the Pentagon is politically targeting.
It's amazing that, you know, as I was sort of saying flippantly before, that it's simple or it's complicated, and it seems complicated, right, when you start putting all the pieces together. But once you can see the full puzzle, once you can see what it actually looks like, you know, the puzzle on the cover, the front cover of the box, it's actually quite simple. And in fact, it's the exact same thing that we saw the last time. But it's sort of the blind man in the elephant's tail, you know, trying to describe exactly what it is. Mike Benz, only got about a minute left. Let people know where they can follow you, where they can get information, and how to check out your interview with Tucker Carlson.
Great. So best place is on X. My handle is at Mike Benz Cyber. And then if you want to see, I've got a great foundation, Foundation for Freedom Online. We do cutting edge investigative reports on all aspects of the censorship industry. That's foundationforfreedomonline.com. Thank you again, Jack, for all your incredible work. And just dropped a new interview with Tucker Carlson. If you check it out on my X page, my Twitter page, I think you guys will all enjoy it.
You know, Benz, and I got to say, if people really don't believe in celebrity psyops, then how do they explain the fact that Amy Schumer was a celebrity for like 5 years? I mean, come on. Come on, kid. Someone. Wait till you find out who her uncle is. All right. We'll be right back. East Palestine coming up.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we are live in Washington, D.C., but I wanted to bring in now Ben Berkwam, who is currently on the ground, East Palestine, Ohio, 1 hour away, give or take, from the arrival of Joe Biden. And we are told and we can see that there is a full-on army of Trump supporters there with him. Ben, bring us in, East Palestine, Ohio.
Hey, Jack. Yeah, I had a truck drive by right now, said Joe Biden just landed. So this is the warm reception that Joe Biden is going to get from East Palestine. What do you guys think about Joe?
Let's go, Brandon! Go, Brandon! Let's go!
We don't like Joe. He needs to stay home. Go back to bed, Joe Biden. We don't want you.
All right, I'm going to get Mike over here. It's pretty clear. The one sign I think that says it all is too little, too late. Mike, you kind of organized this thing. You got 100 people out here, small town, no support for Biden. Actually, I saw one Biden supporter over there. What do you think about Joe Biden showing up a year too late?
Well, I coined that slogan as too little, too late. He should have been here for a year ago for this town. They're sending billions over to Ukraine. How about sending a billion here to this East Palestine here to get them back on track?
Yeah. You know what's amazing is so many people out here talking about this, and not only do they feel abandoned, but they're bringing, you know, you guys were chanting for the border, close the border. They were saying, right, Let's go, Brandon, close the border. So even in here in East Palestine, where you have people that have been abandoned by Joe Biden, they still get that the border is such a significant issue.
Correct. I mean, you look around America, you talk to people, inflation is up. They want to tell us that the inflation is down. It is not down. What is it up over the last 3 years? Unemployment is up. People are looking for employees. They can't get them, and they just want to rather hand money out to get votes for their side, and it's not working. People of America, towns like this built this country, and we're sick of it. They just keep raising our taxes. I live in a county, they're raising our taxes, and our county is $66 million in arrears on property tax. Instead of going after them, they go after us citizens that pay our taxes, and we're tired of it.
God bless you, sir.
Mr. Trump, we're behind you.
There it is.
Go Trump! Go Trump!
Go Trump! Go Trump! Yeah!
What about you, young man? Why are you out here?
I'm with my grandma.
Well, you got a good grandma. Shout out to your grandma right over here. I love that. All right, Laura.
Listen, Ben, when Robert Hur conducted the mental acuity examination over Joe Biden and he was found not to be competent enough to stand trial, how can he possibly be competent enough to run the country? Can you answer me that question? Why didn't we invoke the 25th Amendment immediately? Why? Why?
Well,
what's going on?
I think some people the alternative is even worse than that. I actually think Democrats want the 25th Amendment, maybe even more than Republicans do, because they want Joe out. Anybody? Okay, who's going to win in 2024, guys?
Trump!
Trump!
Yeah, Trump!
Trump!
Donald Trump!
Trump!
all the way. Donald Trump is gonna beat the pants off of Joe Biden as long as he doesn't steal it again. The election was stolen in 2020, and they're gonna try to do it again in 2024. We need to get out and vote and show them that this country belongs to Trump. Trump!
Jack?
God wins, man.
Well, I say that again. I say that again. Man.
God wins, man.
God wins.
Well, and it's the only thing I would say is that it's the country belongs to the country will go
the
for
people.
Trump because the country belongs to the people.
Yeah.
And the people realize that Trump Amen. Is the avatar of those people, like the people of East Palestine.
That's right.
Like the people of Flint, Michigan, like the people of Western Pennsylvania that were also affected by this train derailment, where they come around and say, who is there to speak for us? And that's when and it you know, the unlikeliest of cases, it was a New York City billionaire came in and said, hey, what about those people that are in this country? There's always going to be problems in the rest of the world. We know the rest of the world is a mess. Okay, how about we clean up the mess here at home first? And that's exactly what happened. East Palestine got a mess dropped on it, and nobody wanted to do anything. Talk to me, Ben, see if you can ask that's anybody right. about whether there's any lingering effects of the train derailment, any chemicals in the water, that type of thing, illnesses, things that people may have been experiencing latent from the accident.
Yeah, so, and actually there was, and speaking to some people we were here the year anniversary on February 3rd. One of the questions is, and I don't know if some of the locals want to come up here. So question about it, whether or not there's still lingering health effects, the concerns about the health effects. Do you guys trust? So Joe Biden and the Democrats, Pete Buttigieg is saying it's all safe. Everything's okay. The EPA is saying that. Do you trust them at all?
Absolutely not. My child and I both have been sicker more in the last year than we have been probably in the last 40 years of my life or 20 years of her life. We're not safe at all. Yeah. Not safe at all. They've tested my home one time and never been back. I have not seen one government official, North official, nobody ever. And I am 2,200 feet from the scene of the derailment.
How concerned are you then for the long-term impacts, and what are your prospects? I mean, I know some people are trying to sell their houses and they can't even sell. What are you guys going to do?
I'm a renter, but I can't afford to go anywhere. So what am I going to do? And yes, as for long-term effects, I don't know what 20 years, 30 years, 40 years are going to go down the road. I might be 40 years old, so I might only have 20, 30, 40 years left, but my children have longer than that. Yeah. So I worry about their long-term health and what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. Anybody else had health effects from this? Anyone else want to jump in on that, the long-term concerns that you guys have for the community? Susan?
The guy there in the blue gets nosebleeds every day. He was just telling us about it.
Who's that? You?
Right there.
Come here. Come here. Come talk to me. Come talk to me. Quickly, quickly. We're live.
Okay. Tell me your name.
Tom. Tom Young.
And you get, he said you get nosebleeds every day?
Every day or every other day, yeah, constantly.
So Joe and EPA saying everything's clear, nothing right. to worry about here. What do you say?
I say they're wrong. I've never had nosebleeds all summer, all winter, ever. Get out of a hot shower, blow your nose, have a bloody nose.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
Yeah.
So
what's your message? If and this is, for live TV, what's your message to Joe Biden?
He needs to get things taken care of. People here need taken care of, not in other countries, not everywhere else.
Yeah.
People here need taken care of. They're taxing us, sending our money overseas,
yeah.
giving it to illegals. People here aren't taken care of.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yep. Jack?
All right, Ben, we're just about out of time, but can I get your final sign off for from East Palestine? And I know you'll be back there later as President Biden's motorcade comes through.
Yeah, we've got, stay tuned. We've got a lot of people running for office here, too. I'm going to have Bernie Marino on in just a second. But stay tuned. We're going to be bringing it to you all day. If Joe shows up, we'll be here to welcome him.
All right. Stick with Real welcome. America's Voice. And they'll be getting an interesting welcome to Brandon there, East Palestine, Ohio. You want to talk dissidents? This is the dissidents, the real Americans of this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission. Stay short.